Let's move to artificial intelligence, and there's a lot to unpack here. The Midjourney medical announcement is the second highest engagement story today by comment count, with 578 comments. Midjourney, which most people know as the image generation platform, is apparently developing a medical imaging vertical, and the HN community is both excited and appropriately skeptical in roughly equal measure.
The excitement is understandable. Midjourney's image generation quality is genuinely exceptional, and medical imaging sits at an interesting intersection of pattern recognition and interpretability. Radiology, pathology, dermatology, these are fields where a high-quality AI system that can flag anomalies and assist with interpretation could have real clinical impact. The skepticism is equally understandable. Medical AI has a long history of impressive benchmark results that don't translate to clinical deployment. And the regulatory pathway through the FDA for any diagnostic AI tool is lengthy and expensive.
The comment thread is fascinating because it surfaces a technical tension that I think gets glossed over in most medical AI coverage. Generative models, which is what Midjourney is, are fundamentally different architectures from the discriminative models typically used in medical imaging. A discriminative model learns to classify. This scan shows a tumor, this one doesn't. A generative model learns the distribution of what images look like. Those are different problems, and the question of whether Midjourney's generative strengths translate to clinical diagnostic accuracy is genuinely open.
Several commenters with clinical AI backgrounds note that one potential use case that sidesteps that concern is synthetic data generation. Medical imaging datasets are notoriously difficult to acquire at scale because of privacy regulations, patient consent requirements, and the simple fact that rare conditions are rare. A system that could generate realistic synthetic training data for underrepresented conditions would be valuable to the entire field, independent of whether it can diagnose directly.
On the DeepSeek front, DeepSeek has introduced a vision capability in their chat interface, and the announcement is generating 181 points with 81 comments. This puts DeepSeek in direct competition with GPT-4o and Claude's vision features for multimodal reasoning tasks. What's interesting about the HN reaction is that people are treating DeepSeek's vision launch differently than they might a similar announcement from a Western lab. There's an immediate conversation about data handling and the geopolitical context, which connects directly to another story we'll cover in the business segment.
The technical benchmarks people are posting in the thread are competitive. DeepSeek's text reasoning has been notably strong since their earlier releases, and if they've carried that reasoning quality into the multimodal space, that's a meaningful development. The question of whether Western enterprises will deploy it is separate from whether the technology is capable.
The third AI story I want to highlight is the post titled, "Local Quen Isn't a Worse Opus, It's a Different Tool," which has 246 points and 119 comments. Alex Ellis, who runs the OpenFast project and writes thoughtfully about infrastructure, is making an argument that local AI models running on your own hardware shouldn't be evaluated primarily against cloud frontier models on the same benchmarks. That framing sets them up to lose every time.
The reframing he proposes is about deployment context rather than capability ceiling. A local Quen model can run offline, processes data that never leaves your network, has zero marginal cost per inference, and can run continuously without API rate limits or latency variability. Those properties are genuinely irreplaceable for certain use cases: code completion on an air-gapped development environment, processing proprietary documents that can't leave a regulated industry, or running inference on edge hardware.
The HN thread extends this into an interesting debate about what better even means for a language model. Several engineers point out that Claude Opus might score higher on MMLU benchmarks. But for a task like complete this function given my entire local codebase's context, the latency and privacy properties of a local model running at 3 tokens per second might actually produce a better engineering experience than a faster remote model with all its associated overhead.
There's also an economic dimension here that Ellis touches on. If you're building a product that makes 100,000 inference calls per day, the economics of local deployment versus API costs are completely different from a developer making a few dozen calls per day for personal productivity. The local is worse narrative is heavily shaped by individual power user comparisons, not by the fleet economics of production AI deployment.
And to close the AI segment, the AI compute extension specification, the ACE spec from x86ecosystem.org, is quietly significant. It's a proposal for standardized hardware extensions that would let CPUs natively accelerate certain tensor operations that currently require offloading to a dedicated GPU or NPU. If this gets adoption across AMD, Intel, and potentially ARM, it changes the math on where AI inference can run efficiently. The HN thread is small, 17 comments, but the people commenting appear to be processor architects who know what they're looking at.